collaborative effort when this began. We had the first luncheon we had when we were talking about cancer survivors. We had two, I hate to say warring, but they were warring, factions of a family in one tribe. They actually sat at the same table together. And that's significant. This group has really advocated to move forward on cancer work and has really wanted to do that. And we've gained a lot of recognition in the Northeast. Maine is very active with us at this point, and as you know, there's a number of Maine tribes. So I just needed to point that out, that this is something that really has brought people together around a common cause and has made a big difference. Thank you very much for having us here.
Marie Levine in disguise. My name's Kathy Bryans, and I work with the National Cancer Institute's Cancer Information Service. I'm presenting on behalf of Marie Levine, because unfortunately she couldn't be here, so I'm honored to be here today. The program that I work with is funded by the National Cancer Institute. It's a regional program, so we have 15 regions across the country, based at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle, and we serve the Northwest region. So we partner with various organizations, depending on what their needs are, to provide technical assistance to develop, plan, and implement cancer education or cancer screening programs. In this case, Marie was based at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium up in Anchorage, and she recently got a new job at Providence. So she worked with Josita Sladen from the Alaska ASNA, the Alaska... Thank you, I'm blanking, who's the director there, to plan this radio show. So that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about today. And I have no relationships to disclose. Okay. So the goals of the program that were put together were to use a multifaceted approach to promote that at least 50 or more women would get screened at a mammography clinic that was being held in November up in Barrow, Alaska. And one way to do that was by doing this one-hour radio show that was done on October 3rd, and it was done in English and Inupiaq. It was translated on KBRW radio in Barrow, which transmits to the 7 outlying villages. After the radio show, there was an open house at the clinic where people could come to get more information and also to provide feedback on the radio show. And we also promoted the Cancer Information Service, which is a toll-free number where people can call to get more information about cancer. So this is just a picture of the clinic, and the Arctic Slope Native Association is the mammogram hub for the North Slope of Alaska, and that area encompasses more than 88,000 square miles. Women in Barrow and the 7 neighboring villages would come into this clinic to have their mammogram done, and the Arctic Slope Native Association program is funded through the CDC National Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program. And just to give you a little bit of background on the population there, it's about 60% Inupiat Eskimo, 25% Asian and Pacific Islander, 20% white, and 5% multiracial. Okay, so some of the barriers for women to receive care is the vast geography and the cost of travel in the North Slope. And then there's also the challenge of reaching out to these diverse audiences to let them know about the services that are being offered. Twice a year, the Screening for Life program has mid-level clinicians which travel out to the villages to do clinical breast exams and pap tests, but women do have to travel to Barrow to actually have a mammogram done. So 4 times a year, the Screening for Life program offers mammography clinics where women can come in. And with funding from CDC and through the Arctic Slope Native Association, they help defray the costs, and they book charters so that they can get reduced travel costs for women to come in to get screening. And this is just a picture of the actual clinic waiting room. So there's lots of information, just another way when people come in to give them information about different health topics. Okay. So a consistent message that Alaska Native women have given, and it happens in many cultures, is that a lot of the materials is not culturally relevant, and they would like to see themselves in the pictures of the materials. So with some funding from NCI, from CDC, and various other organizations in the state, a series of materials have been developed with a local artist that Alaska Native women can identify. So this is an example of some material that was developed by the South Central Foundation and the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium Community Health Aid Program to help convey risk information to Alaska Native women, with an emphasis on the importance of old women and elders continuing to be screened. Other efforts to create some culturally relative materials with local artists, filmmakers, and designers. One of the most popular resources has been a DVD and booklet, which is that one up there. It's called Weaving Breast Health Into Our Lives, and it's been pretty widely distributed, and it's pictured there next to a colorectal series as well. So the story basket is called Weaving Breast Health Into Our Lives, and women talk about breast health on the video. People supporting people, listening, sharing, the circle of life handed from elder to youth, and life-sustaining dance upon the drum of the earth. Viewers and readers learn that there are important choices women make to find breast cancer early, so it can be best detected. And then in 2007, the Alaska Breast Health Partnership partnered with all the tribally funded programs to develop this series of materials down here, and it's a series of posters that's targeted for different areas of the state. And the unifying message across all of them is, I made time, I got screened, and got the facts to promote breast and cervical cancer screening. Okay. So another way to sort of piggyback on that campaign was to use the media, the radio. It's a proven component to strengthen the message and to bring it home. And the Task Force on Community Preventive Services finds strong evidence to support the use of a multifaceted campaign to increase breast cancer screening. Radio is very affordable, and an Alaska Rural Media Survey commissioned by the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium indicated that 72% of residents in the Arctic region are daily radio listeners, with many communities having access to only one radio station, so that being KBRW up in Barrow. So we, the NCIS program, we've worked with various radio stations in our region to do cancer education programs. So the Alaska Native, the Alaska Slope Native Association approached us about the possibility of doing a breast cancer education radio show. So this is the outside of KBRW radio station. And this is in the recording studio on the day of the radio show. We did work with the partners there over several months to develop a one-hour live radio show. And we decided that it was important to develop a script to have the talking points to make sure that we kept all the messaging we wanted to do in that one-hour time. So pictured here, Marie is the woman in the pink sweater, and Josita is the second woman. She's the director of the screening program in Barrow. And then next to Josita is Stella Suvlu, and it's Martha Ipaluk-Falk, and she's a well-known and respected breast cancer survivor, so she gave the survivor message on the radio show. And then Emily Wilson was the interpreter, and Becky Andrew is one of the providers at the screening program. We also had one of our information specialists that answers calls on the 800-4-CANCER hotline fly up to participate in the radio show, and she helped develop the script and was involved in the planning process, and that's Annika Giel down at the end. So each segment of the radio show was in 1 to 3 minute intervals, and then it was translated into Inupiaq. We used Understanding Breast Changes. It's an NCI publication to take the core messaging to develop the radio show script. And I have a couple of copies here if anyone is interested in looking at that. And then the planning happened over a series of teleconferences because of the distance. There was also promotion and outreach that was done before the radio show happened to let people know that it was going to be taking place. There were flyers that were posted across Barrow and Village Health Clinics, and there was also an information table at the local supermarket. And they also developed some colorful placemats that were distributed to some of the local restaurants in Breast Cancer Awareness Month that October. So our experience confirmed that radio is a powerful way to reach women who may not otherwise receive cancer education, because it comes directly into their homes and it gives them an opportunity to hear it together with other family members and friends. The open house that was planned immediately after the radio show, we heard many favorable comments about the radio show, and listeners reported that they had increased awareness about the breast health messages. As a thank you for coming into the clinic, the listeners were able to put together some necklaces with glass beads of different sizes, just to show them like the different size breast lumps that can be found depending on how long you wait to go in for a mammogram. And it was really gratifying to be told by the women that they appreciated getting the information and hearing it translated into their own language, and also to hear the breast cancer survivor story, to have someone local share their own story. So one way for us to measure the success, there were 88 women that were screened at that mammography clinic that was held in November. The original target rate was 50, so we were pretty excited about that. And then the thought was to use a radio show again to promote a cervical cancer screening clinic that was being done in the spring. So that was done as well. And then we worked to help them develop some fact sheets, and some materials were left in the clinic that could be used to provide information for women in the future that came to visit the clinic. Thank you.
Well, guys, you can see indeed we have come a long way, and I am just so excited and overwhelmed really with what we're seeing here today. If you will just look about, you will see Native researchers and you will see academic partnerships with the Native communities using community-based participatory work. And indeed, we are far beyond the unfavorable statistics as we're moving forward with the work in this country. And this is all an example of it. Now, since you have run really fast, we have some time for questions. And I know that many of you have questions. And so just so that we facilitate this and others can hear, if you'll stand when you ask your question, and if we need, we'll try and see if we can work since we don't have a roving mic. But if we can't hear you, we may need to have you come up. But we need for you for us to hear your question. So if you'll, yeah.
Because there is this disconnect between their voices and what they see in the medical literature and hear from the medical doctors. So my question to you is, what do you believe these stories, what is the added value of these stories, and how do you measure and document the efficacy of those?
Good question. The stories that we have collected